This Front Page podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code FRONTPAGE.
On Friday's Page One, oil companies got the go-ahead to drill in the Gulf of Mexico without first getting required permits. From Washington, the debate over the legal and political limits of drone missile strikes. This comes up because the CIA has targeted radical cleric Anwar Awlaki, who was born in this country even though he's now in hiding in Yemen. And consumers are staying connected on their cell phones, but that doesn't mean they're talking on them. I'm James Barron. We'll look at those stories and more on the front page of Friday's New York Times. Our top story says the federal agency that's supposed to regulate oil drilling let BP and dozens of other companies drill in the Gulf without first getting required permits from another agency. That second agency objected to the impact that drilling would have on the Gulf. Times reporter Ian Urbina interviewed half a dozen current and former scientists from the first agency, the Minerals Management Service. They said officials there routinely overruled biologists and engineers when they raised safety and environmental concerns about some drilling projects in the Gulf and in Alaska. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has announced plans to reorganize the agency in the wake of the explosion at the Deepwater Horizon oil rig. 2 weeks ago, the government estimated the oil leak at 5,000 barrels a day. But Friday's Page One says the government appears to have used a faulty method for calculating the amount. Outside scientists say BP has failed to use techniques that would give a more precise figure. They say this matters because the size of the spill is directly related to the amount of damage it'll do in the Gulf and on the coast. The CIA targeted a U.S. citizen who's a suspected terrorist. That has set off a debate over the legal and political limits of drone missile strikes. The person the agency targeted is American-born radical cleric Anwar Al-Awlaki. He's said to have inspired the man behind the failed car bombing in Times Square. He also cheered on the gunman who went on a rampage at Fort Hood last year. Awlaki is now in hiding in Yemen. To eavesdrop on him, intelligence officials would have to get a court warrant. But designating him for death required no judicial review. That makes some legal experts uneasy. Times reporter Lydia Polgreen has been riding the subway in New Delhi. Its 118-mile network will be finished by fall, right on schedule and within its $6.5 billion budget. The highest fare is 67 cents, but still the system is turning a profit. Also on Friday's front page, people are staying connected on their cell phones, but that doesn't mean they're talking on them. The growth in voice minutes is stagnated, even though more and more households are disconnecting their landlines. Text messages are up 50%. Iton Prowser of Great Neck, New York, says that fits the pattern in his life.
I really don't call people unless it's like either my girlfriend or someone who I really need to talk to in person about something. Like, most of the time I just text it, and I feel like if I'm going to call them on the phone, I'm not going to know what to say to them. It's easier to do this type of thing in person, but like, I don't know. I think it's one of those just like stupid idiosyncrasies. I'm just like, I don't know why I do what I do.
We'll go inside Friday's Times after this.
This Front Page podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create and manage a high-quality website or blog. Brand new widgets allow you to pull your social accounts from across the web and seamlessly integrate them on your Squarespace site. Use Squarespace for all of your website needs. Build it, host it, and manage it. For a free trial, go to Squarespace.com. No credit card needed, just try it out to build your website. Then, if you decide to purchase it, get 10% off when you enter offer code FRONTPAGE.
Inside Friday's Times, a renegade general who backed the protesters in Thailand was shot during an interview. Major General Khatia Sawadafol had been accused of leading a paramilitary force with Thailand's red shirt protesters. The shooting happened while he was talking with reporter Thomas Fuller.
I think the bullet went over my head and hit him in the forehead. We were about, a half an hour into an interview, and I just asked him, I said, do you think the military is going to launch a crackdown, and do you think they'll be able to penetrate the barricades here? And then there was a bang as he was answering it, and I think his last words that I heard were, the military cannot get in here. And then he immediately just fell, just collapsed.
At the time, the government was getting ready to blockade the protesters' camp in downtown Bangkok. Clashes between soldiers and protesters continued into the night. At least one person was killed and seven others were injured. The FBI arrested three people in raids linked to the Times Square car bombing attempt. Two are Pakistani men suspected of providing money to Faisal Shahzad. He's the man arrested in connection with the attempt on Times Square. The FBI raided locations in three states on Thursday. Attorney General Eric Holder says it's not clear if the two Pakistanis knew the money was going to be used for terrorism. Another person was arrested in Maine. All three were charged with immigration violations, not terrorism. In Newburgh, New York, law enforcement officials raided dozens of homes. It was a show of force against street gangs. The Bloods and the Latin Kings have been causing trouble there. Prosecutors released indictments naming 60 suspected Bloods and their associates. 18 Latin Kings were also indicted, mostly on drug charges. The publishing giant Condé Nast has been talking to the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey about moving into the new One World Trade Center. Condé Nast is looking to lease as much as 1 million square feet in what's planned as the country's tallest office tower. So far, the only tenants are government offices and a Chinese real estate company. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron.